we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Let's learn our verse. Okay, let's see that.
Okay, what a great verse, because this is a reminder. As Joy was saying, everything seems so overwhelming sometimes, and that's because we forget to do what this verse is telling us to do. Enter into the presence of the living God. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. Psalm 73 verses 17 and 18 NLT. Okay, now let's do it again. Because we know this is true, and this is what I always tell the kids. How do we know it's true? Because it's in the Bible. That's how you know it's true. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. Psalm 73 verses 17 and 18 NLT. And that's the truth.
Oh, that is great. So you all know it now. Yeah, I don't either. So, but I can't wait to see what you do over the summer, because I know that you guys are going to find scriptures to memorize over the summer, and you're going to have all kinds of songs put together, right? Yes, okay, so moving right along. Okay, so... Your praise today showed something about you. Your praise today showed that your praise today is proof that you're still alive. Your praise today is proof that you're still alive. Your struggle, I can't believe I wrote these things down last night. Your struggle is proof that something awesome is coming your way. Your struggle is proof that something awesome is coming your way. Your testimony is proof that the devil is a liar. Your testimony is proof that the devil is a liar. And your life is proof that there is still power in the name of Jesus and that his blood still washes sins away. Yes. Can I get an amen? How many? Amen. How many of you were here at the 11 o'clock service this morning? There's a little lady in the 11 o'clock service, and she responded to almost everything. And I'm sitting over there going, Yes, that gives me freedom to respond. And, you know, some people, that really bothers them when they're talking, when people respond like that. But she was agreeing with everything, so what's the problem, you know? So I'm like, yes, hallelujah, yes, yes, that is right. Oh, yes, you preach it. Yes, I'm okay with that. So if anybody does that, please don't stand up and do it. You know, just, it's not to draw attention. It is a thing that is just agreement with what the Word of God has to say. And, you know, we get so into the way we do things that we don't make room for the Spirit to move. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about individuals, individual people. And we don't do that at our church. We don't talk out loud at our church. Or we always talk out loud at our church or something like that. You know, I love that. I love response. I love seeing things really happen in people's lives. And I love it when people agree with me. That's what I especially like. So, another thing that I wrote down, I, man, God is so good. There's a prompting in my heart to encourage someone today to keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. It's not over. You're not finished. God sees you. God is with you. God is for you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. You are deeply loved and accepted and forgiven by us, but more so by Jesus. God himself has told you to this day to be encouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Pressing on to the high calling that God has called us to. We keep moving forward. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's what we need to do. Coming to Jesus is going to mean dying to self. It means, and that feels good. Let's see, what is dying to self? Dying to your own glory. Dying to your own agenda. And being willing to come before God with open hands. Nothing I hold on to. Nothing I hold on to. And entrusting everything to him, knowing that he's trustworthy and that he's worthy of all sacrifice. He is worthy. James Coates made that quote. God is worthy. I need to die to myself. Come to Jesus. Coming to him means that we die to self. The other ones, obedience matters to God. Obedience matters to God. Obedience keeps his word. Obedience honors his name. Obedience leads into his will. Obedience leads us into his will. Obedience imitates his son. Out of obedience, Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood for us. And obedience advances his kingdom. Obedience matters. I know we all hate the O word, but it matters. It matters in all of our lives. Just ask the Assyrians, if only you could. They would tell you that obedience to God matters. Obedience to God matters. Nahum chapter 3. shows us very clearly. It tells us that the Assyrians were going to reap what they had sown. They are reaping what they had sown, and they had sown disobedience to God, turning their back on God, and the consequences of that is everything that they did to someone else came upon them, and then they were hidden at the end of the day. They had turned their backs on God. And so, Lord, as we just go into your word right now, Father, we just ask that your word would be spoken, and I'm just so impressed. I stand in awe, Lord, of just that sense of knowing that you are right with us right now. Lord, that you have never left us. You will not forsake us. You are walking right with us. You are in the midst of everything, Lord, that you have gone before us. You have everything in your hand, and we trust you, Lord. Let me speak your word and your word alone, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we start with verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. So you're going to have your Bibles open, I know. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. Its victims never depart. The noise of a whip and the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of clattering chariots, horsemen charge with bright sword and glittering spear. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses. Now, it was found when Nineveh was found, at one of the gates particularly, they found 16 skeletons that were just stacked upon the other one. And that's exactly fulfilling what we have right here, that they would be stacked up. You would stumble over the corpses. That has been fulfilled. Verse 4, because of the multitude of harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries who sells nations, through her harlotries and families through her sorcery. Why would this stuff come upon them? Because they had turned to other gods and turned their backs on the true and living God. They had turned their backs on the true and living God. Verse 5 says, behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. Oh God, that would never be said of any of us. That the Lord is against you. Walk closely with him. Don't let that obedience reign in your life. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. And I don't know, I didn't have a hard time understanding this one. Maybe some did, but the lifting of the skirt over the face. He said, I will show your nakedness. I will show you for who you are. I will show all your weaknesses. I will show all of your weaknesses, and I will expose everything that you keep hidden. I will expose everything that you keep hidden, and that's all the people will see, your nakedness. You have lost your identity. You have lost your identity. The skirt is up over your head, over your face. You've lost your identity. You no longer exist. The skirts will be over the face. And I'm going to show your nakedness to everyone, everywhere. And we're seeing that nakedness right now as we read this book. And how do I deal with that in my own life? Those things that I'm afraid that God's going to reveal, that I'm afraid that somebody's going to find out this about me. What do I do with that? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will there be consequences? Probably. But God has it. Just don't, at the end of the day, don't go to your grave with things that are not taken care of. Don't go to your grave without things taken care of. the consequences of showing your nakedness will make you a spectacle. It says, I will cast abominable filth upon you, verse 6, make you vile and make you a spectacle. It shall come to pass that all who look upon you will flee from you and say, Nineveh has laid waste. There's nothing there anymore. Who will bemoan her? Who will mourn for her? Where shall I seek comforters for you? Are you better than Noamon? Noamon is the same as Thebes. And as we look at this, as we just look at these verses right here, it says it so clearly of what's about, what was going to happen and why. So are you no better than Thebes or Noamon that was situated by the river? You're situated by a river that had the waters around her. You have the waters around you. Whose rampart was the sea? You have the rampart as the sea. Whose walls was the sea? You have that. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength. You have that. And it was boundless. Put and Lubin were your helpers. Yet, verse 10, Thebes was carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed to pieces. At the head of every street, they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. And those are all things that Nineveh had done, the Assyrians had done. You also will be drunk. You will be hidden. No one will see you anymore. You also will seek refuge from the enemy. You're going to run. That which you have done, you didn't pay attention to what happened to another city that turned its back on me, God says. You didn't pay attention. You weren't aware of what was going on around you because you were so prideful. You were so arrogant. You were so set on your own will that you didn't see what was happening before your eyes. And you weren't convicted of your sin because you weren't walking with the Lord. Verse 12, all your strongholds are fig trees with ripened figs. If they are shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. And in Revelation 6, 12, and 13, it gives us a little bit of that, of what was going on there. And it just when the figs are really ripe, they will literally drop off. Just that is enough to make them come off. You were ripe for judgment, is what he's saying. You were ripe for judgment. And this is what's going to happen. Verse 13, surely your people in your midst are women. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is the day of offense. Okay, let me be offended by this. This is not meant to offend us. This is truth. And you know what? I'm looking at her right in the middle. I'm just squirrel. But aren't they up there? When you were at this study and you saw that every week, when the world is falling apart around me, I will look to the Lord. Did you keep that in your mind? And we keep that in our mind every day. When everything is falling apart around me, I will look to the Lord. As women, because I am smart enough to know that I am weak enough to need a Savior. And so, they simply stated that women are physically weaker than men. It is what it is. You can argue it all you want, but it still is the truth. You can fight it all you want, but it still is the truth. And that's why we have the separation between men and women's sports. Rather stern.
Amen.
that's why I don't know if any of you are listen to or watch or have on your Instagram PragerU, Prager University. Someone said to Prager University, just because you call yourself a university doesn't mean that you are a university. And they said, true. Let's put that to gender. I'm just saying. When you look at a situation where there is a, in the one thing that I was looking at where the guy decided that he was a girl to, so he could run on the track team. It was obvious by looking at it that, number one, he was not a girl. That was obvious. And number two, that he was stronger than the girls. And so, why did I bring that up? I'm so frustrated with that. That it just frustrates me so much that we've bought into things like this. We haven't, I know, but people have. There are, that sounds like you're not people. You... There are some who are really buying into this, to the narrative of it. I read of a, the reason that he was on that team was because he couldn't win on the men's team. That was the reason. He, looking at his past, he couldn't win on the men's team. But he could on the women's team. So, we need to be praying, ladies. We need to be praying seriously about this. However you feel about it, please pray about it. And I heard of the MMA guy. I don't even remember his name. Just so did. He decided he wanted to be in the ring with a female, because he's now, today he's female, you know. So he's in the ring, and he hurt her terribly. He broke her whole socket here. It was an excuse not just to win. It was an excuse to hurt women, I think. That's just me. And I might get in trouble for that. But anyway, that's what it is. So moving right along, the scripture says in verse 13, surely your people in your midst are women. They are weaker. You men are acting like women. You are acting like you have no strength. You can't even do it. That's what your people are going to be like. The gates of your land are wide open for your enemies. Fire shall devour the bars of your gates. And when they were able to, what's the word? They were excavate. When they were able to excavate Nineveh, they found all of the gates were burned. Evidence, once again, this word is true. It is what God said it would be. It is the truth. And it's right there for us to see. Draw your water for the siege. Fortify your strongholds. Go ahead. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. Make more bricks. Make more walls. Go ahead. Do it. When it comes down to it, make strong the brick kiln. There the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will eat you up like a locust. Make yourself many like the locust. Make yourself many like the swarming locust. Go ahead. Build another wall. It won't protect you. Go ahead. Make the bricks. Go ahead. Make something that keeps us from coming in, because we will be on our way. Verse 16, you have multiplied your merchants more than the stars of heaven. The locust plunders and flies away. Your commanders are like swarming locusts, and your generals like great grasshoppers. Here's how they're like great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges on a cold day. Oh, we're uncomfortable. That's where the locusts go in on a cold day. They'll hide in the hedges. And when the sun rises, they flee away. Your leaders have flown away. Your leaders have run away. Your leaders are not being leaders. I'm going to skip down to verse 19, and I have a reason for it. Your injury has no healing. Your injury has no healing. Nothing's going to come of it. There is no forgiveness. Your wound is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you. For upon whom has not yet your wickedness passed continually, there will be no one to mourn for you. No one to mourn for you. And why has this happened? We go to verse 18. Your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles rest in the dirt. Your people are scattered on mountains, and no one gathers them. Your leaders, the ones who were supposed to go before you, the ones who were supposed to lead you, are not gathering you up. They're not giving you instruction. They're not telling you how to protect yourself. Your leaders, you, the leaders, did nothing. So this is the next to the last verse of Nahum, and as God, through Nahum the prophet, is proclaiming judgment on Nineveh as the capital city of Assyria, and God's made it clear all throughout this book that his judgment is coming upon them because of their sin. Judgment is coming upon them because of their sin. The reason I linger on this verse 18 is because of the way God speaks about and speaks to the leaders of Assyria. This verse is specifically addressed to the king of Assyria. Your shepherds are asleep, O king Assyria. So what he's saying is basically to the king, he's saying, you're missing this. You could have led your people to repentance. You could have led your people to repentance. Just like you did. Just like the king before you. During the time of Jonah, led his people to repentance. That's a true leader. But you're not. And all the people you've entrusted to lead your people, your shepherds, they're sleeping, but where are they sleeping? In the dirt. They're dirty. Sleeping in the mud. In other words, those with power and authority, even when you think about Romans 13, how God has instituted government for the good of people, so those who God has divinely placed in positions of authority for the good of people are using their authority for evil to lead people into sickness, into judgment, and into death. I'm not getting political here. The truth is out there. The people are scattered on the mountains, Nahum says, with no one to gather them. None to point them to that which is good. None to point them to repentance, to turn to God, like we saw happen in Jonah. It's not happening here because of the leaders. It's not happening because of the leaders who are not leading. So you think about this picture, and then you think about the clear commands we have in the New Testament to pray for kings, to pray for leaders in high positions because of the authority they have to lead people in ways that are good and right and honoring of God. And so I just want us to take a few minutes, and I want to lead you in a prayer, in praying for leaders in the world right now, that God would ultimately bring salvation to them, that they would humble their hearts before God, that they would fear God, and they would lead people for good in light of the fear of God, to lead people in ways that are good and right and just and that open the door for the spread of the gospel. 1 Timothy makes it clear, pray for kings and all who are in high positions that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, a godly life, a dignified life. That is good. It's pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if we could just pray for a moment. So as we pray for the spread of the gospel in our country and in other countries, we must pray for kings and all who are in high positions. So we pray for the kings, the prime ministers, and the presidents of all countries. Name particular ones here. If you have a country particularly in your mind, along with our own, as we pray for these leaders, we intercede on their behalf and we pray that you would bring them to fear you truly, God. God, we pray that you would bring them to know you, to know the gospel, to trust in you, to look to you. God, we pray for your saving grace in each of these leaders' lives. We pray for your saving grace in each of these leaders' lives. And as we pray in this way for them, we also pray for your grace in each of their lives, that you would give them wisdom to lead people well in ways that are good and right and just. God, we pray that you would keep them from evil and wickedness. You would help them to lead the people you've entrusted to their care. Cause them to lead those people well. God, we pray for our own President Biden and for Vice President Harris. We pray for him and other world leaders. God, we pray that you would draw them to fear you, to trust in you, to look to you, and to lead in a way that reflects your goodness, in a way that reflects your justice. God, we pray for your salvation in world leaders, and we pray for your wisdom in world leaders, knowing that the people they lead will be affected by their leadership. We count it a privilege and a responsibility to obey 1 Timothy 2 in light of Nahum chapter 3, verse 18, to pray for leaders in high positions. And we pray that you would help us to be faithful to do this in our lives for leaders in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Our verse for this entire study of Nahum was Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Last week, I made mention of the mark of the beast. Some people know what that means, know what I'm talking about. Some people don't know what I'm talking about. If you were here on Sunday, Peter referred to it in Revelation 13. And the reason that I brought it up the way that I brought it up, I believe with all my heart that the rapture of the church will happen before the mark of the beast comes. I believe that. However, my question to us is this: what if something like it happens and I'm still here on earth? Will I still have faith in God even though it wasn't the way I planned? Or will I say, I guess he was wrong? I don't want us to be thrown by things that come at us that we don't understand and just ask for that wisdom. James says, if you ask for wisdom, you ask of God who gives to all men liberally. I want us to be prepared for whatever comes. Because when Jesus comes for his church, when Jesus comes for his bride, when he says, come up here, I am going, whatever time that is. And there needs to be able to be found faith on this earth because of it. So paying attention to that, that's why I brought it up. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So as we walk through this life today, I'm prompted to remind you of another thing. Everyone in our lives will have a last day. Everyone in my life will have a last day with me. And I don't know when that will be. So what I say matters. And what I do matters. We've prayed for world leaders today, and it matters. So we'll make it count. Potluck here next week. On top of all of that, oh yes, a potluck next week. So take this seriously. I know you all have. Write it down. Mull over it. See what God tells you. And walk in victory with him. Walk in victory with him. Remember, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just live for the Lord. So, ladies, I love you. And Jesus loves you the best. And I don't say that flippantly. He loves you more than you can even ever imagine. And he is coming for his church, and I'm looking forward to it. And I am thankful for women who are committed to walking the walk, committed to being who God called them to be, and to walk in his ways. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace in this world. So go out and keep doing great things for God, okay? And so, Lord, as these guys get into their small groups, we pray, Father, that you would be in the midst of that and that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, Lord, that they would be encouraged by one another, Father, that they would see you, that their hearts would be sensitive to your voice, Lord God. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus!
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-4444. 9495. Letting go, standing up, stepping out.